Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Another interesting aspect of the human-animal bond is how many beliefs we have about other people tend to carry over into our beliefs about animals. Let me give you an example of this. Suppose your dog had a badly fractured leg, perhaps had a pin and maybe a couple plates and wires in it. And the orthopedic surgeon asks you to limit your dog's activities to indoors and outdoors just long enough to relieve herself. I don't think that there are many people out there who would have much problem with that. Nor do I think that any of their friends or relatives would see anything the least bit abnormal about that recommendation. And for sure, I don't think you would hear any others in the orthopedic field say, "No, you ought to be out there hiking with that dog, letting that dog run with other dogs." It just wouldn't happen. It just strikes us as so intuitively right that an animal who had a limb that was that severely fractured would need time for those bones to knit properly. And we would also recognize that if we tried to rush that process and that leg broke again, it would be much more difficult and take much longer to ensure healing after that. And yet, when a recommendation is made that an animal who is severely stressed and prone to stimulus overload when taken into certain complex environments be kept at home and limited to the owner's yard until that animal has time to learn the basic skills and begins to knit and heal a badly injured sense of self and trust in the people that animal lives with. When we say, let's limit that animal's activities, unfortunately, a different standard comes into play. Suddenly, we become like those people who look at someone who suffers from severe depression, who says, "Oh, buck up, cheer up, you can do it. Come on, pull your act together." In fact, some will even go so far, in the case of animals with severe behavioral problems, to suggest that getting them out there and exposing these animals to the very things that they have indicated their fear of and their inability to handle is a good thing. Why does it make such obvious sense that we wouldn't force an animal to use a badly injured limb at the same time that we would force an animal into a situation that requires more than that animal's damaged psyche, damaged behavior is capable of handling? I've thought about this because I encounter this attitude a lot in my work. Sometimes it comes from my clients, but sometimes it comes from their well-meaning but naive neighbors and co-workers and relatives. But I think a lot of it has to do with pure ignorance. A lot of people don't realize that behavioral pain and physical pain affect the same parts of the brain. It makes me wonder if maybe animals with severe behavioral problems would benefit if, when I saw them, maybe I put a thick and glaringly white bandage on them in some obvious place. Maybe wrapped it around their heads so their owners wouldn't have to explain to well-meaning but naive people why this dog is on limited activity for a while. Why they're not allowed to do whatever they want to do with this animal. Why do we stigmatize behavioral problems more than physical problems in animals as well as in ourselves? Maybe because behavioral problems make us feel more vulnerable. Physical problems, we have the impression that these have been mastered, and we have the technology where we can actually see what is going on. We don't have that assurance with behavioral problems. Behavioral problems make us feel uneasy. They make us feel that we're out of control, or we could be out of control, and so might our animals be. And we don't like that uncertainty. And yet, at the same time, if you look at the range of behavioral problems, and if you look at the capacity to heal, I'd argue that the prognosis in the majority of times is excellent. We used to think that the brain was such a fixed structure and so inflexible. Now we know how truly magnificent it is and how capable of healing. All we need to do to tap into that is to get past our own fears. We need to get past that so we can provide the animal with behavioral problems with the same respect and healing environment that we would one who is physically ill.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.